To print, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2000.
Back to the Todd Bromelcam Show right here on KGYM.
Game on!
Game on!
A $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill could be yours just for suffering through the indignity of listening to the final 2 hours of this program. Welcome back in, hour number two, with you on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Todd and Alex, grateful that you are along for the ride tonight. Kent Swanson of SBNation.com's Kansas City Chiefs website is going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Chiefs do not have a first-round pick in the draft tomorrow night. Could they trade up and back into the first round? What will they do with their remaining picks? Among the many questions that we will ask Kent. The 6 o'clock showdown is around the corner in hour number three. We've got a four-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the South Bend Cubs. You'll never guess who that team is affiliated with. Next Thursday, May 3rd, a thirsty Thursday night, Colonels and Cubs at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Seven questions, 60 seconds. Whoever answers the most questions is going to be off to the game. And Mel Kuhn Jr., our very own KGYM NFL draft analyst, will answer not my questions about the draft, but your draft questions tonight at 6:35. Anything you want to throw at Mel Kuhn Jr. He says he's open to answering those questions. Colonels, by the way, at home tonight. They continue a four-game series with the Burlington Bees. That series is all even at one game apiece after last night's win. Very nice game pitched by Edward Kalina. I'm very excited because this is going to be the first Colonels game that I'm actually going to get to not see from start to finish this year, because it starts at 6:35, and I'm not going to get over there until about 7:15 tonight, but my parents are in town, and they're watching my son for me. So I can actually go out to the ballpark tonight and enjoy watching the game as opposed to watching my son and then catching 10 minutes of the game out of the corner of my eye, 30 seconds here, 15 seconds there, 20 seconds there. So excited, and the weather could not be more beautiful. I mean, this is a great night for me to go out and then not drink a beer because I'm trying to stick to the low-carb lifestyle.
Okay, well, I had this picture in my head of you going, getting a beer, and then sitting at that table right behind home plate.
You know what? I may. Do we have any beer sponsors, any that are at the ballpark tonight? I'll gladly throw them a gratuitous mention. 319-366-1600. We do have a text line sponsor. That's Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. You can find them in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. The Dickens family, I believe most of them, if not all of them, Cubs fans. Maybe a little bit concerned about the health and well-being of Chris Bryant moving forward. He's not in the team's lineup again tonight. A second game in a row he's missed now after being hit in the head over the weekend. And boy, the text line, we mentioned it in hour number one, bringing a number of examples of players that were beaned. Dickie Thon, Tony Conigliaro, a lot of guys whose careers have not been right or were not right from that moment on. It is scary stuff. And helmet technology, the safety aspect of the helmets is very strong nowadays. I don't know anything more about Chris Bryant than what's out there publicly, but starting to get just a little bit concerned at this point. Because he's a tremendous baseball player. I would say this about any player on any team. That's scary.
Absolutely.
And I've had a baseball-related head injury before, and believe me, it's not fun. Very few people probably even know this, but Rob Gronkowski's older brother, Gordy Gronkowski, who played first base for the Cedar Rapids Colonels about a decade ago, actually, a head injury ended his baseball career. He was standing in the dugout, and one of the Colonel's starting pitcher that night was warming up, and he lost the grip on one of his warm-up pitches, and it sailed over the protective backstop, and it hit Gronkowski in the back of the head, full bore, So you've got to think probably at least 80 miles an hour. And no hell, he didn't have a helmet on. He was standing in the dugout. He wasn't even looking. And concussion, career over at that point. His dreams of being the most famous Gronkowski, which he was at that point in time. I think at that point in time, none of the other Gronkowskis were in the NFL, but went by the wayside. And several years ago, we actually had Gordy on the program, a great kid, and once a Gronk, always a Gronk. I think they're all very similar, let's put it that way. But Rob Gronkowski, by the way, announcing that he's going to play football next year, which was, I don't want to say that was up in the air. I think it was a storyline that people were putting out there to have something to talk about with regard to Rob Gronkowski. Now, he's going to be playing football next year, but the other Gronkowski is going to be out of action. There's a horse named after Rob Gronkowski that was supposed to be running in the Kentucky Derby next month.
Okay, there's just so many Gronkowskis to keep
and
up with right now.
Gronk the horse is sidelined now, and Gronk the football player took to social media to express his disappointment, but wish Gronk the horse the best in its recovery. 2018, so, baby. 2018.
What were the odds at home that the Gronk the horse and Gronk the baseball player would be all retired, and one of them due to head injury, while Rob Gronkowski is still playing?
It's the only horse in the Kentucky Derby field fueled by Monster energy drink, Gronk the horse.
I would love to see that reality show.
319.
The Gronkowskis.
Like Mr. Ed, they feed it peanut butter and the horse talks and somebody dubs the voiceover. 366-1600. That is the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We do have that $30 gift card to La Cantina to hand out. I mentioned we were going to get to college basketball today, and this is depending on whether or not you put your faith in the NCAA to do what the suggestions are here. But there has been for the last several months a commission that's been tasked with trying to fix the NCAA, especially when it comes to college basketball. And that commission released its report today and made many suggestions, but among them, the one-and-done rule could be going by the wayside. And well, we'll get into some of the other items that were brought up. Does anybody have any faith that the NCAA is going to do what it needs to do and address the things in college basketball that need fixing? Or are you of the belief that college basketball is fine just the way that it is? 319-366-1600.
See, the problem here is the two arguments that most people bring to the table are any argument in 2018, you're either on one side or you're on the other. You're either way on one side and you think that all the players should get paid or should be compensated for their likeness, or you're on the other side that says, quit complaining. The NCAA, I know that a lot of people who dislike the NCAA are saying that it's not addressing these players' value and how much they're worth, and I agree to that to a certain extent in it, but if there's anything I know about the NCAA is they're lazy. And the way that they would go about trying to regulate players getting paid or players getting paid for their own likeness, I just don't think that as long as the NCAA is the governing body, that is ever going to happen.
Here's a snippet from the report. It is the overwhelming assessment of the commission that the state of men's college basketball is deeply troubled. The levels of corruption and deception are now at a point that they threaten the very survival of the college game as we know it. How would you describe basketball? The report says deeply troubled. What state is college basketball in? 366-1600. I think there are major issues. I think you've got obvious flawed men running programs like Rick Pitino at Louisville, and eventually that House of Cards came crashing down on him. House of Cards, Cardinals, no pun intended there, believe it or not. Kelvin Sampson. that's part of the issue here to me, is that the NCAA and schools have been paying lip service to this for a really long time. And how do I know that they've been paying lip service and not taking this seriously? Guys like Bruce Pearl. I hate to continue to bag on Bruce Pearl all the time because you know I like him. But Bruce Pearl's probably not a guy who should continue to be getting head coaching jobs, especially after he's been given show cause. Kelvin Sampson.
If you win, you win.
I'll just go cool my heels for a year or two in the NBA, and then Houston's going to come calling, and I'll get a job again. And if there's anybody out there that believes that Rick Pitino couldn't coach again somewhere, that a school wouldn't be desperate enough to hire him, come on. Get with the times.
8458 asks if this is just a basketball thing. No, but the basketball got caught. College basketball got caught.
The commission was formed to focus on college basketball.
Because the FBI stepped in. If the FBI doesn't step in, we're not talking about this. Let's get that. I think that's important to lay out right away, because if the FBI doesn't step in, none of these teams get caught. Rick Pitino's probably still coaching, and we're not having this discussion.
8458 says, so is this the end of college basketball, or is it the beginning of the end of college sports in general? College sports in general. Something's got to give here, right? And I say this because coaches are being paid millions and millions of dollars now. You have the players, and this started years ago with Northwestern and the players working unsuccessfully, for the most part, to attempt to unionize college football players. And so you've got a divide between labor and management in the fact labor doesn't get paid, although, again, there are a number of people out there that go, wait a minute, you get a scholarship, you get room and board, you get to travel on chartered jets to luxurious locations like West Lafayette, Indiana, and Ames, Iowa. I mean, that's, you can't put a price on
Lincoln, Nebraska?
I'll throw Lincoln in there as well. But remember, we're running scared. Everybody is running scared of Scott Frost in Nebraska, currently sitting atop the Big Ten West along with six other teams with a record of 0-0. You've got an issue now for the longest time with players wishing to be compensated. Meanwhile, the dollars for the coaches, the assistant coaches, the athletic directors, they're making millions of dollars. That's an issue. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars going into facilities. I mean, this is, I jokingly referenced industries being referred to as big, but college athletics is a big time business. There's no getting around it. And college basketball for years has had this reputation of an area of the NCAA that had a very seedy underbelly. How old is the movie Blue Chips with Nick Nolte? 30 years old? 25 years old? I know Shaquille O'Neal and Anthony Hardaway, who's now the head coach at Memphis, were in that movie, as was Bob Cousy, the legendary former Boston Celtic. He played the athletic director and Nick Nolte's boss, who, if I remember right, sort of looked the other way. Yeah, you do what you need to do. This has been going on for a really long time, and this commission, basically, to me, I have a hard time taking this commission's report seriously today, because like everything else with the NCAA, I think it's just in one ear, out the other ear, and this is for show. This is for us to think that they're concerned about doing something when really all they're concerned about is getting people like us and people like you, the listener, to stop talking about it and move on to something else.
College basketball has had a shady underbelly for a long time. And you bring up Blue Chips. How old is that movie? What was the current draft rule, or the draft rule when Blue Chips was released? There was no one and done. So what's the first thing the NCAA says needs to be changed in this report? The one and done rule. The one and done rule will not stop the shady underbelly of college basketball. It was there before, and as long as the amateurism model is in place, it's going to continue to be there. One and done rule. I don't think that the one and done rule is good for college basketball. I don't think it's good for the NBA. But this idea that it's going to clean up the sport by getting rid of that rule in particular, that's the first thing they pointed to. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Here's a line from the CBS sports story that tells you everything you need to know. While many wondered if the commission would opt to recommend that college players be allowed to earn money off their likeness while still in college, that is not a concern of the commission at this point.
They won't ever bring it up. They don't even want to talk about it.
So,
because once they talk about it, they think that that's going to open up that Pandora's box to possibly get that discussion going.
Here are the bullet points. You end the one-and-done rule, which I think wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world for college basketball because I'm not a fan of it. Get rid of the one-and-done rule. They have recommended that undrafted underclassmen be allowed to return to school.
I agree with that.
And I believe that includes players who hire an agent.
Yes.
Because
if you don't get drafted, you come back.
Can still come back if they don't hire an agent. The third bullet point, agents should be allowed. We recommend that the NCAA and its member institutions develop strict standards for certifying agents and allow only those NCAA-certified agents to engage with student-athletes at an appropriate point in their high school careers, as determined by the NCAA. So now you have the NCAA leeching into amateur, really amateur athletics at the high school level. Number four, significantly increase enforcement penalties, a.k.a. the NCAA hasn't been doing enough to hurt teams that cheat or coaches that cheat. I agree with, I've got no argument with any of this so far for the most part. The fifth bullet point, overhaul the summer league and the AAU circuit. That's going to upset a lot of people. A lot of people who make a living on the summer and AAU travel ball circuit. That's never going to. You're never going to get the AAU influence out of prep basketball. You're just not. So, as far as I'm concerned, you probably should have just chopped the bullet points at number four. Because number five is not coming to fruition. Is there anybody out there that thinks the NCAA is seriously going to run the risk of alienating the AAU and summer programs, which are essentially feeder institutions into NCAA members?
I just want to know what they mean by overhaul, because I do agree that AAU circuit is possibly watering down the college basketball product. And I'm not sure that they necessarily mean get rid of it or sever the ties between the AAU and the college basketball circuit. I just wonder, how would you go about doing that? And I ask, how would you go about doing that? And I also ask, what would be the rule? If you get rid of the one and done, what's the rule? Straight out of high school like it used to be? What's the rule if you get rid of the one and done?
The commission believes that in order to clean up recruiting, the NCAA, in conjunction with the NBA and the USA basketball program, should be ambitious in starting its own spring and summer circuits. AKA, they want a cut of the profits. They want to push the AAU and summer travel ball off to the side because it's a very lucrative industry, and it has been for years. So guess what? Hey, we've come up with a way to fix this. We're going to start taking in the money. We're going to get our cut of the pie here. You're not solving the problem at that point. You're just taking the money from over here, and you're making sure that it goes over there.
Well, you're also pushing it off on the NBA and USA Basketball, so they have to pay for it, and then you get a cut of what
now,
they're paying for.
Now, to me, that makes sense, though, because the NBA and, to a lesser extent, USA Basketball are going to be direct beneficiaries of a cleaner, more streamlined feeder program. And I think the NBA wants this. You know, I'm not sure that the NBA wants the G League to be what it is right now, you know, and to be the only option and otherwise see guys go overseas. So if you came up with this spring and summer circuit where they're involved in it, I don't necessarily see too much of a downside there. But to me, I'm also, my spidey sense is tingling here because I'm a big enough cynic that I'm looking at this going, this is just the NCAA and the NBA trying to get a cut of the money that's currently going outside the realm of their purveyance.
Well, I think the whole idea of this is to have these players develop and coach from a young age the way that the style and the way that they would play at the higher levels. So you see this in soccer in Europe where clubs will bring kids in at 12 or 13 years old and have them play on their junior clubs, and they're coached that way from the very beginning. And I agree, the AAU circuit is awful, and they really don't get coached. It's every man for himself, and it's trying to get recruited that way. So the idea here is for these young kids to get coached by high-level coaches right away from a young age. But the question that I have is, who pays for it? The NBA, there has to be some give and take. The NBA, not only, like you said, Todd, needs to put forth a minor league system to give these players another opportunity. So let's say they get drafted in the second round and they don't want to go to college. All right, we'll go sit in our minor league system for a while. Another incentive, similar to what happens in baseball. And they also need to get involved, at least the NCAA wants them to get involved in even younger players. So that's all well and good. The question is, who pays for it? Because the NBA has shown a lot of hesitancy to pay for anything, and the NCAA is not going to do it. USA Basketball? I don't know. Someone's got to pay for it.
Speaking of paying, somebody has stepped up to the plate to pay Loyola basketball coach Porter Mosier. Details when we return. 5:26 back after this.
Used car and truck shoppers, this weekend and only in beautiful Hiawatha. Pre-owned Power Buy pricing at the McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night. This is the sale of over 2,500 quality used vehicles from $39.88. And full-size pickups, Silverados, F-150s, Sierras, power price from $11,988. Nowhere else in eastern Iowa, only at McGrath Used Car Campus, I-380 and Boyson Road in beautiful Hiawatha. Through Monday night, Power Buy prices from $39.88 with credit amnesty. Nobody's held back. You're approved. And at the McGrath Used Car Campus, full-size pickups from $11,988. The perfect gift for a graduating senior? Late model Chevy Cruzes from $10,988. Pre-owned Power Buys, every budget, every make and model. Cars from $39.88. Trucks from $11,988. And with credit amnesty, you're approved. The McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night, I-380 and Boyson Road. For details, log on McGrathAuto.com.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
What the hell are you guys all dressed up for?
Yeah, I agree with the texter 9284. That train is so far down the track. Youth basketball, youth baseball, youth football. It is not returning to the depot anytime soon. There was a former major league, I believe it was Kevin Euclid over the weekend, who had some pretty strong thoughts about the youth sports era and shared those thoughts on Twitter. I know Brian Ferentz is not a fan of kids specializing in one sport. Iowa loves to recruit kids that play multiple sports. Not necessarily, I don't want to get off on that tangent here because it doesn't necessarily directly correlate to the discussion that we're trying to have about the college football or college basketball commission and its recommendations, but there is a larger discussion to be had there, and it makes a lot of people very nervous and uncomfortable when that discussion even gets broached, the idea of having it. Because again, there are a lot of people out there that make a ton of money on the amateur athletic side of things, and I'm talking amateur 8 and under baseball, 12 and under baseball, where you're paying to play in these tournaments, and there's the pressure that if your kid doesn't play travel ball, he's not going to play varsity when he gets to high school. That is BS. It's a load of bunk. And I've said this to a lot of parents that I've talked to. Not that I'm an expert on anything, but I sure talk like I am. But if you are talented enough, do you really think, or if your kid is talented enough, I should say, do you really think there's a coach worth his salt that's going to say, yeah, but you didn't play travel ball. You're not going to play for me. I'd rather, hey, Mike Trout, I'm going to sit you on the bench. Nah, I'd rather put somebody else out there. No, if your kid is talented enough, they can play Cedar Rapids Park and Rec Little League Baseball and be successful. Now, you can have an argument about or a discussion about the merits of practice and repetition and everything, but you don't have to do that on the travel circuit, right? And again, it's uncomfortable because there's a lot of people out there that probably listen to this program who have a toe or two in that water, and they ain't going to be happy that that's my opinion, but so be it. Who cares? I dread having to have these discussions with my wife about my son when he gets old enough, if he wants to play sports. Because that looks like a miserable lifestyle to me. And I know we're running long here. My apologies. But it looks miserable to me to have to pack up the car and go to destinations 3-4 hours out of the way every single weekend all summer long just because little Johnny plays travel baseball so that he can hang out with his friends and become a future major leaguer or get a college scholarship, which again, the news on that, for those of you who have your head in the sands, good luck. You're better off taking all that money you spend on travel baseball for years and years and years and putting it into a college savings account, because that scholarship is going to be enough to maybe cover books. Unless you're Mike Trout. We're not talking football here. We're not talking full rides. Baseball has to get, what do they have, 17 and a half? Something like that? They got to get creative. We got to get creative. We got to make up some time here. Kyle has a big board update for you.
Iowa baseball has won 5 consecutive midweek games, and they'll look to continue that today as they'll be hosting Milwaukee this evening at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes are 23-13, while the Panthers enter at 15-18. It'll be freshman Trenton Wallace on the mound for the Hawkeyes. He's 1-0 on the season with 21 strikeouts and 19 innings. First pitch is set for 6 o'clock on this beautiful Wednesday, and we'll keep you updated. The football program got a commitment today from safety Sebastian Castro out of Illinois. He's a 6'1", 200-pound, 3-star prospect who chose the Hawkeyes over offers from Minnesota, Iowa State, and Syracuse. Iowa wrestlers Spencer Lee and Alex Marinelli were named to the Amateur Wrestling News All-Rookie Team yesterday. Lee's a first-team selection at 125 pounds after going 22-2 and winning the national title as a true freshman, while Marinelli made the second team at 165 after going 19-6 and earning All-American honors. The Colonels grabbed a 3-1 victory over the Burlington Bees last night. Edward Colina started on the hill and earned his first Midwest League victory behind 5 scoreless innings. He got run support from RBI by Gene Carlos Arias and Shane Carrier, and later by Royce Lewis. The teams are back at it again tonight for Game 3 of the 4-game series beginning at 6:35. And then tonight after the show, we're going to join the Twins and the Yankees. Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray will get things started on the hill, and you can hear that game on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Trevor in North Liberty says it's not BS. As part of a high school team that played favorites, he didn't have the money to play travel ball. And not to toot my own horn, I was pretty good and sat 85% of my varsity career because of that. Well, if a coach wants to play favorites, that happens everywhere. And I don't know necessarily, I don't know the backstory there, but playing favorites sometimes doesn't necessarily equate to the travel ball circuit. And boy, you and talk about some things here that you expect to get traction and they don't and get a response from people. But every single time this topic comes up, the Hertin and Stocker text line explodes. 319-366-1600, by the way, that is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us. Kansas City Chiefs fans, talking to you right now. Got any questions about what the Chiefs are going to do this week in the draft? They do not have a first-round pick tomorrow night. Kent Swanson of Kansas City's SBNation.com website is going to join us next as we continue to look forward to round one of the draft tomorrow night. Hour number two continues after this.
Decking, railing, lighting, furniture, fencing, framing. At Trex, we make the most in outdoor living because you deserve to get more from your life outdoors. So why not start bringing your ideas to life now with the brand that's engineering what's next? To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, or to find a local retailer or a certified Trex Pro deck builder near you, visit Trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon you'll have a separate fridge in the basement where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Everyone in the neighborhood knew about Bobby. Bobby, the basketball boy, they called him. Bobby wanted to go pro someday, so he was always out in the driveway shooting hoops. But one day, his mom came out and told him,
"Hey, your wife wants you to take out the trash?"
His mom was visiting, and Bobby was a grown man. He had kind of missed his window. Plus, no one had ever seen him actually make a basket. But on the other hand, Bobby had heard how Geico could save him money on car insurance, so he switched and saved. So, it was all good.
Mom has her own special place in your heart, and Mother's Day is the perfect time to find the Pandora gifts that celebrate everything she is. At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. It could be a bracelet Jared's experts help you create, or a special gift set just for mom, like the Flourishing Hearts gift set, just $99, or melt her heart with the Pandora Love for Mother charm, a Jared exclusive for just $55, while supplies last. Exclusive gifts from Pandora. That's why he went to Jared.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Need auto parts but can't get to a store right now? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com. Buy your parts online and pick them up in any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts stores nationwide. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back to the Todd Bobblecamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
You know, there's a reason why coaches tend to mandate players play travel ball. Follow the money. Just a hunch. Just an educated guess there.
It should not.
Somebody's probably getting a cut.
It should not cost that much to play baseball. That's all else I will say on that topic.
But you know what? You got people out there that are defending it, saying their kids loved it and the parents loved it because they make friends with the other parents. And then it just turns into, are you doing it for the kid or are you doing it as a social thing for you and the husband or you and the wife?
I played.
You know what? People that have done it and love it, you're never going to change their mind.
I played travel ball. My brother played travel ball. It was great. But for those that can't afford it, it does no help in bringing other people into the game, other kids into the game at a young age.
And it's just not a baseball thing for me. It's a sports thing. Yeah. Why are we telling people that in order to be able to play sports, you have to have enough money to play travel ball? What happens to all of the poor kids out there? And I don't want to turn this into a social issue, but because then, you know, it's just going to go downhill and you're going to have the bootstraps crowd out there that says, well, so be it. You do what you need to do to be successful. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. But I don't know, maybe it's just the way that I was raised. Maybe it's my upbringing, my background. I have a really hard time not thinking of the people out there that are falling through the cracks and how many players aren't playing a sport like baseball because they don't have the means to do it. And then you get others, but hockey is insanely expensive.
See, I understand why hockey's expensive. All the equipment, all the ice time, but baseball should not be that expensive. But it is.
And so again, anytime I tiptoe up to the line of talking anything where, you know, society and all of that stuff comes into play and right and left and red and blue, it's just going to get me in trouble. So let's stick to sports and talk a little football. The Kansas City Chiefs do not have a selection until pick number 54, day two of the NFL draft. Kent Swanson, who writes about the Chiefs at SBNation.com, is with us now. And that is, of course, if the Chiefs don't somehow trade up into the first round to make a selection. So, Kent, what are the odds that we see the Chiefs make a deal and have a pick tomorrow night?
Doubtful. I think the cost to move into that range is probably a little too rich for their blood, but I would not be surprised to see them move from 54 to the early 30s on Friday.
The depth at wide receiver and interior offensive lineman in this draft, does that help the Chiefs and Chiefs fans breathe a little bit easier about picking at 54, or is there a little animosity knowing they don't have a first-round pick?
You know, I think we're okay with not having a first-round pick because Patrick Mahomes has already rewarded this fan base with flashes of promise. But you are right on the wide receiver and offensive line position, as well as quarterback. All three of those positions, if there are runs in round one, it's going to help the Chiefs by pushing some value down to them in a range that is more palatable if they do want to move up or potentially just stay at 54 and have some talent fall to them.
So what are we looking at addressing here if you're the Kansas City Chiefs front office and assuming hypothetically they do trade up so that they have one of the first picks on day two? So you always have one or two, maybe even more talents who are considered first round picks who fall out of the first round. So where are they looking at making themselves better using that first selection?
The old joke, there's always 45 first-round picks every year. But, I think cornerback and defensive line are both positions that there's a chance that one of the talented players in that pool winds up falling into a range where the Chiefs can select. A couple names to think about: Isaiah Oliver, a cornerback from Colorado, Deron Payne, a defensive lineman from Alabama, and then also Taven Bryan, a defensive lineman from Florida, all three names that have not been necessarily considered locks in the first round, which would help the Chiefs immensely for this year and in the future.
Is there a little bit of a concern with the defense right now? Marcus Peters is gone, Tom Bahali is gone, and this was really the side of the football that they hung their hat on for a few years. And the pass rush just wasn't there last year.
Yeah, there is definitely some concern here in Kansas City. I'm not necessarily in that boat. I think they have a strong core, but they certainly do need to continue to add talent on that side of the football. Supporting the pass rush would be a help, and an interior defensive lineman could definitely do that for them. There's also some edge prospects in that late day two range that might make sense for them as well.
Kind of one of the more underrated and bizarre happenings of the offseason was the Marcus Peters trade. He was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. He had some character concerns coming into the draft when he was drafted by the Chiefs. He was kicked off the team at Washington, and he had some really good years with the Chiefs at the cornerback position. It seemed to take a while for us to have any idea what the Chiefs were getting in return, And then it seemed to be a fairly small haul in return for a top-level corner. Were you surprised by that situation?
I was surprised by the entire thing, including the compensation. It was definitely on the lighter side, but I also think that speaks to the situation that both the Chiefs and Marcus Peters put themselves in. It does seem like it was a relatively amicable departure, and it was probably in the best interest of both sides. The problem is that the market wasn't that great for the situation, and the fact that the Chiefs were able to get a second and a fourth is fine, but you would have liked to see them get a top dollar return for a player of the caliber of Marcus Peters.
Kent Swanson from ArrowheadPride.com with us on the program, taking a look at the Kansas City Chiefs draft needs this week. Round one beginning tomorrow at 6 o'clock here on KGYM. This is Brett Veach's first draft that he's ever run. He's been doing this for a number of years, but he's never been in charge of a draft. Are there any concerns with this being his first draft?
I wouldn't say concerns. One thing about Brett Veach, and part of the reason he is in the position he is right now, is because of the trust he's developed with Andy Reid. Some names that Veach has been standing on the table for in his tenure with Andy Reid, both in Kansas City and Philadelphia, players like LeSean McCoy and Fletcher Cox and Patrick Mahomes. These are all guys that Brett Veach was very keen on and was early on. So I don't think the concern is necessarily with his ability to navigate through this process. There is some concerns that he might be too aggressive here trying to move up, but he did kind of quell some of those concerns a little bit on Friday with his presser. But overall, I think everybody is just more so interested to see what kind of approach he takes. And I don't know if it's necessarily fear, but more just intrigue.
On the offensive side of the football, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes will be starting quarterback next season. But Matt Nagy had taken over play calling duty halfway through last year. He's now the head coach with the Bears. Is that a position that Andy Reid is going to take over? Because I know he's elevated Eric Bieniemy to his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you expect Andy Reid to have his fingerprints all over the offense this season in tandem with Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid actually was the one calling the plays in the Week 17 game versus the Denver Broncos that Patrick Mahomes got his chance to play in. So the play calling was actually coming from Andy, and I don't expect there to be any issues there.
Is this how critical is this season for Andy Reid in Kansas City?
You know, I think this year the moves that they've made seem to indicate that they're going to be, you know, the old adages, or the new adage really, is that, you know, having a quarterback on his rookie contract is one of the most valuable assets in all of sports, and they're not wasting any time with trying to acclimate Patrick Mahomes and this team into a new era. They've been aggressive this year in trying to identify talent like Sammy Watkins on the offensive side of the football and Anthony Hitchens on the defensive side. So it's an important year for him because it's one of the 4 years that the Chiefs have a cost-controlled quarterback that they're able to build around.
Are they convinced that, and are Chiefs fans convinced that Patrick Mahomes is ready?
You know, The mania here for Patrick Mahomes is incredible. This is the first quarterback that the Chiefs have taken in the first round in most Chiefs fans' lifetime. It's been 34 years between the selection of Todd Blackledge and Patrick Mahomes. So they are thrilled, they're excited, and they can't wait to see what he is able to do with a full season under his belt.
So you've already touched on a couple of the areas, but how do you see Kansas City using the remaining picks, especially on the third day? Are there any other areas of need that are going to be addressed, hopefully, through the draft?
I would anticipate day three being focused on the offensive side of the football. I would imagine that day two is spent focusing on defense, but you could see a developmental interior offensive lineman, a developmental tight end, and a late-round quarterback as possible selections on day three of the draft. to continue to put some talent on that side of the ball and hopefully develop one or two of them into a solid contributor.
So you talked about some of the moves that were made in the offseason, and a couple of them have some local ties here in Iowa. Xavier Williams was signed, and as was Anthony Hitchens. Do both of those guys expect to play a big role on the defensive side of the football for the Chiefs this year?
The expectations are high for both of them. Anthony Hitchens is a guy that the Chiefs feel very strongly can be a three-down linebacker next to a recent acquisition in a trade by Brett Veach and Reggie Ragland. They hope to be able to keep both of those guys on the field at the same time, even in sub-package defensive personnel groupings. And then Xavier Williams is filling a need, a much needed role as a run-stopping defensive lineman, and they're hoping he can get some pass rush juice. I mean, the Chiefs were aggressive with trying to acquire Xavier Williams, who was on a restricted free agent contract with the or tender with the Arizona Cardinals. So they've been very intent on trying to get him in the building as well. Big expectations and hopes that both of them can start this year for the Chiefs in 2018.
Kent, last question before we let you go. What were your initial thoughts when the Chiefs' schedule was released for 2018?
Not a ton of real opinions on what's going to happen. You know, it's kind of, for me personally, it's kind of a fruitless effort to really pay too much attention to what happens, because there's so many variables with injuries and whatnot that can happen in any given season. While the schedule might look strong this year or right now at this point, it very well could change very quickly.
Kent Swanson, Arrowhead Pride, the Kansas City Chiefs site on SBNation.com. We appreciate it as always. Enjoy tomorrow night of the draft, especially if the Chiefs don't trade up. You won't have much work to do.
That would be great. I'd like a nice break. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
5:51, and I think that's probably the best way for Kansas City to go, is to focus on who falls out of the first round, and then you try to figure out how you move up from 54 to, say, 34. Or 33. We saw that several years ago with the New York Jets when they traded up to get that first pick in day two to grab Sean Green out of the University of Iowa, one of the players that fell out of the first round. And that really is where a team can win or lose the draft, in my opinion, is what they do with several hours to sleep on the draft board, who's still out there, and take advantage of some of those quote-unquote steals in the draft.
See, I had brought up Marcus Peters and his trade to Los Angeles, and when that happened, I thought to myself, okay, well, we're not going to be talking about the Chiefs. Before, I was thinking we're not going to be talking about the Chiefs on night one of the draft, and then before the details came out of that trade, I thought, okay, well, they had to have gotten a first-round pick. Why else would you trade a top-three corner in football? Well, they didn't. They got a six-round pick this year and a second-round pick next year. And I know he says it was an amicable split, but for that small of a return, something behind the scenes must have been going on. And like you said, at this point, they have some draft picks. You don't want to get rid of any more future first-round draft picks. Maybe a trade-up in the second round. But I don't see them trading up to get into the first round.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you've got to be all in with the organization and the belief that they made the right decision last year to trade up and grab Patrick Mahomes. And this is going to be, I think, a big year for Andy Reid and the Chiefs and for Mahomes. And we'll see what happens. But keep an eye on day two. We're going to join the Friday coverage of the NFL draft in progress at 7 o'clock after local programming is over. But tomorrow we're out at 6 o'clock so that we can bring you the draft in its entirety from the first pick to the last pick of round one. I have not forgotten about the $30 La Cantina gift card. We're going to give that away coming up in the next few minutes. LaCantina319.com is the website to check out before you visit one of their three locations. Kyle's going to have a big board when we return after this.
Smart FM. Your We Will Rock You. We are the champions. Start me up. Taking care of business. Welcome to the jungle. Hot-blooded. Rock and roll all night. Freebird. Don't stop believing. Back in black. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Station. On Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids. 98.5 Iowa City.
This is the sound of every home run Minnesota Twin Brian Dozier hit in 2017. It's a sound you'll hear even more in 2018. And as a season ticket holder, you'll get a lot more than that. From choosing your own games to savings on tickets, concessions, and merch, and even access to pregame field passes, you'll get the most out of the season. That is the ultimate fan experience. This is How We Baseball. Get your season tickets today at twinsbaseball.com.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Hang on just a sec. Let me settle in, and I'll be right back.
Welcome back in. The Cy-Hawk series has been decided for the year. Who takes home the Cy-Hawk trophy? I'm not talking about the football trophy. I'm talking about the one between Iowa and Iowa State. In all sports details on that to come, Kyle has a big board for you.
Iowa baseball has won five consecutive midweek games, and they'll look to continue that today as they'll be hosting Milwaukee this evening at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes are 23-13, while the Panthers entered at 15-18. It'll be freshman Trent Wallace on the mound for the Hawkeyes. He's 1-0 on the season with 21 strikeouts and 19 innings pitched. First pitch is set for 6 o'clock on this beautiful Wednesday, and we're going to keep you updated. The football program got a commitment today from safety Sebastian Castro out of Illinois. He's a 6'1", 200-pound, three-star prospect who chose the Hawkeyes over offers from Minnesota, Iowa State, and Syracuse. Iowa wrestlers Spencer Lee and Alex Marinelli were named to the Amateur Wrestling News All-Rookie Team yesterday. Lee's a first-team selection at 125 pounds after going 22-2 and winning the national title as a true freshman, while Marinelli made the second team at 165 after going 19-6 and earning All-America honors. The Colonels grabbed a 3-1 victory over the Burlington Bees last night. Edward Colina started on the hill and earned his first Midwest League victory behind five scoreless innings. He got run support from RBI by Giancarlos Arias and Shane Carrier, and later by Royce Lewis. The teams are back at it again tonight for Game 3 of the four-game series, beginning at 6:35. And then tonight after our show, we'll be joining the Twins at the Yankees. Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray are getting things started on the hill. You can hear that game on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And I understand that the Twins lead that game 2-0 after a home run by Miguel Sano.
He's got two career hits off of Sonny Gray, and they have both left the yard. Were you aware that the Iowa and Iowa State softball teams were playing today to decide the Cy-Hawk
battle? Of course I
was. Everybody was.
Yeah,
I think
everybody knows that.
Most Iowans from Davenport to Sioux City woke up this morning and said, hey, today's the day where we decide who takes home the Iowa Corn Cy-Hawk series. I hate saying that. I don't get paid a dime by Iowa Corn. Why do I have to give them advertising? Well, if you are an Iowa State fan, you have bragging rights over Iowa for the next 365 days or until football season if the Hawkeyes are to beat the Cyclones. Iowa State, a 4-2 winner over Iowa in softball today, the final event in the Iowa Corn Cy-Hawk series. So the folks in Ames probably celebrating tonight in a big way as they, at least on paper, are better than the University of Iowa. You know how much, how friendly that rivalry is between the two schools. Hour number three, 6 o'clock showdown on the way next.